The portion of God's Word that we read this evening is 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. We read 2 Thessalonians 3, but the text that we will consider is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 as we continue through 1 Thessalonians. Let's read the text first. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians 4, 11 and 12. 1 Thessalonians 4, 11 and 12, "And that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing." It's on that theme that the apostle elaborates upon in chapter 3 of 2 Thessalonians, and that's why we read that chapter tonight. So the word of God at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, "Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us. For we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might be chargeable to any man, might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. The salutation of Paul with mine own hand, which is the token in every epistle, so I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." Thus far we read God's Word. Let's turn now back to the text in 1 Thessalonians 4. Read that one more time. 1 Thessalonians 4, 11 and 12. "And that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing." Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, before we get into the text, I'd like to set forth our plan for the remainder of this series in 1 Thessalonians. The plan is to preach after tonight four more sermons on 1 Thessalonians. We'll turn next week, the Lord willing, to the remaining chapter or verses in chapter 4, the glorious passage on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. After that, we'll look at the opening verses of chapter 5, which speak of the great return of Christ as a thief in the night, as the chapter makes clear. Then we'll look at a couple of verses in chapter 5, the two verses that talk about the calling that we have to esteem those who labor among us highly. Very important text that talks about our responsibility towards the office bearers in the church. And then we'll draw the series to a conclusion with a few verses 19 through 21 that talk about the way in which we receive the Word of God. Chapter 2, you remember, talked all about the way we bring the Word and explain the Word. And now, at the end of the epistle, we'll conclude with the way that we receive the Word. So, after tonight, the Lord willing, four more sermons to conclude our series on this book in the New Testament. But tonight we look at the verses that we have in front of us. And what we look at tonight is one of those things in our lives that is an absolute constant. There are certain things that are so regular in our lives. This is one of them right here. All of our life long, we gather together for worship. Well, the theme of the sermon tonight is another one of those things in our lives that we engage in every single day, namely work. And because this is such an important part of our lives, we do well to hear a sermon tonight on our calling to work. The Christian's calling to work. That's the theme that we take for the sermon tonight. We notice three things. In the first place, the meaning. In the second place, the purpose. And last, the command. The meaning and purpose and command of the Christian's calling to work. Apparently, the church in Thessalonica needed to hear from the apostle instruction concerning work. And apparently, they didn't listen very well. Because we have in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the text that's before us tonight, the apostle setting forth this calling that the church has to work. Apparently, they didn't listen very well. Because the apostle comes back in the second epistle that he writes to the church of Thessalonica, and he elaborates and gives a fuller explanation of the calling that the members of that church had to work. And that's why we read 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 tonight. Apparently, in the church of Thessalonica, there were things going on that hindered the church from carrying out their calling to work. They had a wrong view towards work, and that wrong view carried into a sinful practice concerning the work that they did. There were at least a couple of problems found in the church of Thessalonica. The first problem was a misapplication of a doctrine that the apostle taught the church. That sometimes can happen. You set forth a doctrine, and then when the people take that doctrine and apply it to their lives, as we are called to do, they misapply it, and it leads to a sinful behavior. Think of Romans. The doctrine of the full and free grace of God in forgiving our sins led some in the Church of Rome to apply that in a sinful way and say, what shall we do? Shall we sin that grace may abound? A misapplication of doctrine. And that took place in the Church of Thessalonica. And the doctrine that they were dealing with was the doctrine of the return of Jesus Christ. Paul set forth that doctrine clearly, said Jesus Christ will return. And we always say throughout the entire New Testament age that the return of Christ is imminent. It's soon. The church heard that and took that doctrine and applied it to their calling to work. And they said this: if Christ is going to come, and if Christ is going to come soon, why in the world will we work? There's no point in doing the business that is set before us to do if one day Jesus Christ will return. We don't know for sure that that was their mindset and their thought process regarding work, but it's a very real possibility, and that's a real possibility because of the fact that these verses that we have tonight come right before a lengthy explanation of Christ's return, the resurrection at Christ's return, and then the coming of Jesus Christ as a thief in a night. If you look at the context of the epistle, it seems to be that this was one of the problems that the church faced that led to their wrong view and practice of work. But there was another problem, a problem that arose out of the fact that the members of the church were not carrying out their calling to work. And this is something that comes out clearly in the verses that we read. The problem was that there were busybodies in the church. Instead of working, instead of carrying out their own business, there were in the church of Thessalonica busybodies. That's what 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 11 tells us. It puts at contrast these two things, working and being one who is a busybody. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. A busybody is one who unnecessarily and for the wrong reasons and motives gets involved with frivolous matters, and especially other people's matters. Instead of working, this is what they did. And now that explains why the apostle says what he does in the text that we have before us. In verse 11, the apostle says basically three things, all of which is related to work, and all of which is related to not being a busybody. He says in the first place that ye are to study to be quiet. Now that's somewhat of a strange expression in verse 11. A better way to translate that, that makes more sense to us, is this: that you are to work or strive to be quiet or peaceful or at a point of rest in your life. You strive not to have a chaotic life, a disorderly life, but a peaceful and a quiet life. And then he says that you are to do your own business. And that's just the opposite of a busybody. A busybody is one who gets involved with everybody else's business. So instead of that, do your own business. A busybody leads to a chaotic life. Work to be quiet, peaceful. And do that by doing your own work. And the solution is by doing the work that God has set before you to do. Beloved, we need to hear this word tonight. We need to hear a word about the calling we have to work, because these dangers that were present in the church of Thessalonica are present for us today. We are always at a danger for misapplying the doctrines that we have before us in Scripture. But what is more, it's always a danger that we too are busybodies. And we'll get into this more a little bit later. But that's a real danger for us that can lead to a wrong view and practice of our work. And so we need to hear this word and we need to give some substance to this. And we do that by pointing out the fact that this applies to all the different segments of the congregation. The word in the first place tonight comes to the fathers and the husbands of the church who have it as their calling in a special way to provide for their families, to support their families. That's evident from verse 12 when we get to the purpose of work. One of the purposes of work is that ye lack nothing. Well, it falls upon fathers, husbands, heads of homes to make sure that the family lacks nothing. And also 2 Thessalonians 3 says very simply, you don't work and you don't eat. The calling comes especially to fathers, husbands, heads of homes that have as their special calling to go out and work for the sake of providing for the needs of the home, family, and church. But there's a word here also for the other members of the congregation. There's a word here for the women of the congregation. And the fact that this word applies to everybody is evident from the fact that in the church there was this state of unrest and disruption because of the presence of busybodies in the church. And so the women of the congregation, whether it's your calling to support yourself because that's the position you are in according to the will of God, whether you're a wife, whether you're a mother in the home, you have a certain calling that is set before you. Work that you must do, business that you must take care of. And that is caring for the home and caring for the children. And so a word is for you tonight as the women of the congregation. But also for the children and the young people. You have work to do as well. Yes, it may be the case as young people that you have a job that you do. But your work in a special way right now, children and young people, is school. Your calling right now is to go to school and to do the work you are called to do at school. And so there's something for you to hear tonight as well. The calling that you have to do your work well every single day when you go to school. Not one of us is excluded from the teaching of this text. Yes, it's the truth that there are legitimate reasons for not working. Age, health, sickness. Legitimate reasons. But the Word of God does not allow for an idle and a lazy life. Each one of us has something we are called to do. And we hear from the Word of God tonight that we must do that in a way that is well-pleasing to Him. What was found in the church of Thessalonica is a real danger for us today. And what was found were busybodies in the congregation. And we need to talk about that a little bit tonight. We remind ourselves of what a busybody is. A busybody is one who, for the wrong reasons and unnecessarily, gets involved with frivolous things, things that don't matter, are of no consequence, and especially gets involved unnecessarily and for wrong reasons with the matters of other people. That's a danger for us. And now we make this point with a very important qualification. And this needs to be stressed tonight too. There is a qualification for us tonight. And the qualification is that we do have a responsibility to be involved with each other in the church. We love one another as fellow members of the congregation. We care for one another as fellow members of the congregation. We want to know what others are going through to help them and to bear their burdens with them. It's all part of the communion of the saints. One of the beautiful aspects of being a member of the Church of Jesus Christ. And so we make the point that there is a legitimate, a necessary involvement that we must have with others in the church. But a busybody is something different. A busybody is one who, for wrong reasons, for curiosity, for selfish reasons, wants to get involved with everything else and everybody else's business. And that's so tempting for us. And the temptation becomes all the greater because of the day and age in which we live. It's more possible for us to do this than it was for the Church of Thessalonica 2,000 years ago. We can be so connected because of the means of technology today that we can be so involved with things that don't matter in the end. Think about it. You know the ways in which we can do this. Email, texting, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and the list goes on and on. Things that are legitimate, don't get me wrong. Good uses for those things, but when abused, can lead to what this text is talking about. And that's why the apostle says, study to be quiet. All of those things can lead to a disorderly life. Understand how that works. You get involved with everybody else's business, and it consumes you. It leads to a disruptive life, a life in which you're not able to carry out the calling that you are called to carry out here in this life. Danger, especially for young people, so connected with everybody else, so that it leads to being overly concerned with other things that don't matter. And it doesn't even have to be with other people. Just think of the internet. Consume your life with something else that doesn't matter, and it leads to not carrying out your work. And that's why the solution is what the text says before us tonight. The solution is to do your own business, as verse 11 says, and to work with your own hands, to the end that you do, in fact, live a quiet, a peaceable, and a content life. Because when you are involved with everything else in a wrong and sinful way, it leads to the temptation to not be content, to slander, to gossip, and all of the rest. The goal is a controlled, quiet, peaceful life. A life that's concerned with others for legitimate reasons, but a life that does not abuse that and lead to chaos and disorder. And so we work. And that's the point. That's why we bring this all up. The solution is take care of what you are called to do. And the purpose of that is what we find in verse 12. Partly the purpose is everything we've talked about. That's all related to the work. But now the apostle moves on with respect to the calling to work and lists two more great purposes of the work that we do here on this earth. And that's verse 12. Number one is that we may walk honestly toward them that are without. The them that are without, very simply, are those that are outside of the church. Our view of the antithesis demands that we have contact with those outside of the church. The antithesis says that we are separated, yes, but it's a spiritual separation, not a physical separation, so that we will rub shoulders with those who are outside of the church of Jesus Christ. And if you think about it, where is it that we do that more than anything else in our lives? And here the word especially is for the fathers and the husbands and those who work out in the world. It's our jobs. It's there that we rub shoulders with those who are without. And so we do that, and we must do that in the right way so that we, as the text says, walk honestly toward them that are without. The honestly there could better be translated properly or decently. We must walk, more generally, live properly towards them that are without in the work that we do. The proper way to live, obviously, is the way that is according to God's Word. When we wake up in the morning and head off to work, we don't do that in such a way that we leave our Bibles at home and everything we know about the Scriptures and our callings, but we take that with us. And we live honestly, we live properly in that sphere of our life as well. And it's all encompassing. The way we talk, the way we work, our work ethic, the way we respect those for whom we work. It doesn't matter. Every sphere, when it comes to our working, must be done properly and decently according to the Word of God. And that's so important because others see. And that's the great purpose of this. Others will see everything you do as one who works in this world. They'll see Christ in you. Does the way that you work magnify and show forth Jesus Christ, the one that is in you? So that you work hard. So that you work in such a way that others know that you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that fits with this first epistle to the Thessalonians. Chapter 1, it talks at length about the great work of that church in sounding forth the Word. And they did that because of the testimony of their lives. And that must be the testimony of our lives, especially in the sphere of our working, so that we work decently, properly, so that others know and see the Lord Jesus Christ. And that may be the means that God uses to bring others into the church. Never forget that. Never forget that the way you live, in this sphere especially, has an effect upon those who see it. But we need to say something as well in this respect regarding our children and the women of the congregation, because we talked about that earlier. And there is something that we can say regarding those that are without for our children and young people. It's true that right now, they are, at least in our circles, relatively protected from them that are without. We have church, we have our own schools, their friends, and so forth. So that they do live in a somewhat sheltered and protected life. But this word still applies. because it won't be the case that that is always the case in their lives. One day they will be with those that are without. And one day our girls and our young women will be mothers teaching their children the exact same thing. And so the point is this: instill in them at a young age to do their work well in school, at home, in their jobs, so that down the road, that stays with them. And they carry that through and will always be, by the way they carry out their work, good examples to them that are without the world in which we live. And so we see how this too applies to everybody in the congregation. That's the first purpose of doing the work well that God has commanded us to do. And the second purpose, according to the text, is that ye may have lack of nothing. This becomes more clear in 2 Thessalonians 3. It says very simply, you don't work and you don't eat. We work in order to provide for the needs of this earth. We don't have to go on at length in this regard because we just preached on the fourth commandment or the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer. And we saw that this is the means that God uses to provide for our physical needs. But don't forget this. As fathers and as husbands, remember what was read on the night of your wedding. In the marriage form, very explicit, took a vow to give it your all, the sweat of your face, to provide for your family, for your wife, and for your children. You work hard so that you might lack nothing. But we need to say something as well about the way in which we manage what God has given us. Because part of lacking nothing involves being wise with what God has given us in terms of the things of this earth. May it never be said of us that we lack something because we were not wise in dealing with what God has given us. Let's be diligent in using what God has given us wisely. We budget well so that if it is possible on the basis of what God has given us, we don't lack anything. And we don't spend in ways we are not to spend, so that we do have a lack when we should not have a lack. Obviously, beloved, there are other ways that God uses to provide for us. And it may be the case that our working does not cover everything that we need, and we need help from others, the family, or from the church. And there is nothing wrong with that when there is wisdom on our part in using what God has given us. Nothing wrong with that at all. It's a privilege to help one another. It's the mercies of our Lord Jesus Christ Himself. But that does not replace hard work. And that's the point. We may not have a job, but that doesn't mean that we don't stop looking for a job. And we may not make enough, but that doesn't mean that we just give up and don't work at all. Always. Doesn't matter how much we have or how much help we may be receiving, always the calling we have is to do what God has given us to do. And this comes to us tonight as a command from God. Notice that at the end of verse 11, as we commanded you. God comes to us tonight and says, work. In the imperative, work with your own hands. Work in the home. Work in the school. It's not an option. but a command. And that's something that we need to be reminded of as well. Because at times our mentality can be just the opposite. It's easy for us to think along these lines. I'm going to do what I have to do so that I don't have to work. I'm going to put my hours in now so that I can be done with it and put it behind me. Maybe put my years in now so that I can retire and not have anything to worry about and deal with. That's not the mentality of the Word of God. The Word of God comes to us and says, the calling you have is to work, to use the talents God has given you to the glory of His name. And don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with enjoying what God has given us, enjoying vacations and enjoying time off and all of the rest. Nothing wrong with that at all. But that doesn't take away in one bit from the principle and from the command that is set forth in this text. Why do we do this? It all goes back to God, and it all goes back to our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to the words of Jesus in John 5, verse 17. My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Our God is a working God, and our Savior is a working Savior. God has worked from eternity in His decrees. God created us. God works to save us. And the Lord Jesus Christ does the same. He accomplished the greatest work. From the moment He was born, God said to Him, this is the work you must do. You must suffer and you must die. Accomplish that work to the salvation of us, His people. And now, beloved, we are the ones who belong to God and belong to our Lord Jesus Christ. And just as our God works and our Savior works, so also do we work. That's our motivation. Obedience to God. But even in our everyday lives, we go forth doing what God has called us to do out of thanksgiving and gratitude for that great work of God the Father in decreeing to save us. The great work of God the Father in creating us. And the most glorious work of our Savior in saving us. Work, beloved. Work hard. And work to the glory of God's name. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, we thank Thee that Thou hast given us this calling to work, a calling that goes right back to Thee and Thy great work for us in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now we pray, go forth with us even in this week that lies ahead of us, so that we might work well, that we might have an orderly and a non-chaotic life, a quiet life, a life in which we do our own business, to the glory of Thy name, for Jesus' sake, amen.